Well, good afternoon. Can everyone hear me back there? I'm going to move to the side a little bit so you can see my head over the podium. If I'm too quiet, you can interrupt. I'm Tabitha Brown. I'm a PhD candidate at Washington State University. This afternoon, I'll spend the next 15 minutes talking to you about the research I'm doing with my co-authors and committee. What we're trying to do is take nitrogen use efficiency data that we've been using and develop it into a performance measurement that we can help put into a framework of evaluating our site-specific management. Are we meeting our goals or not? And this particular work's being done in winter wheat. So the previous speakers have really encapsulated why we're up here. Site-specific nitrogen management is being considered a really important strategy for improving nitrogen use efficiency. This comes among a growing world population that needs food, and we're going to be using nitrogen fertilizers to feed them. We have seen in our region where site-specific management, that's what this bottom graphic is, site-specific management has been shown in some cases to not only increase our yields, but also do it with less nitrogen fertilizer. So we want to continue to build on, can we continue to do this profitably and achieve our yield goals? Where we're working is in the Palouse region of the Pacific Northwest. Again, where Troy was showing, the green blob is what's considered the Palouse region. The complex topography leads to a complexity of soils across the landscape. This image is showing as you go from a south side to a north side, you're changing a lot in soil properties. The thickness of your malic epipedon changes, your depth to a restrictive layer. Those are all impacting how the crop's growing, where the nitrogen's going, are we keeping it, leaching it, but also depth to bedrock. And with that comes, we see a lot of variability in crop yield. We know it's there. For example, here at the Cook Agronomy Farm, which I'll explain a little bit more about later, we can see a yield range, this is soft, hard red spring wheat, of 50 to over 100 bushels per acre. However, we still manage these landscapes to a large degree uniformly. And that's because it's complicated. It can be hard to predict some of the relationships between soils, how soil varies across the landscape, as well as the crop productivity and how they're responding to one another. The specific goals of this part of the research was to develop a decision aid so we could evaluate our management impacts on grain yield and nitrogen use efficiency. Growers are starting to use variable rate, but they don't always have good ways to evaluate, did I reach my goal or not? And we want to try to move in that direction. To do that, we've evaluated nitrogen use efficiency by partitioning it into different soil and crop physiological parameters or components. From that, we were able to develop a performance classification that's based on the nitrogen use efficiency criteria outlined in our fertilizer guides. From there, we used the classification to assess our management strategies. Did we reach our goals with our variable rate or not? How might we change that moving down the road? The data points that we used for this came from the field research trials for the PhD research at the Cook Agronomy Farm, which was recently designated a long-term agricultural research site. We have a lot of historical data. We used that to impose a variable rate nitrogen and seeding trial. It was a split plot design. We had nitrogen rate as the main plot, and we had seeding rate as the subplot. And we did this, again, it was in winter wheat, so I had to follow the rotation. So we were in three different fields. First, field C, field B, and then field A. So I was moving with the winter wheat through time. And you can see the nitrogen rates, seeding rates. And again, it's in winter wheat portion of the rotation. Going into those crops, we took different soil and plant nitrogen measurements in order to do this nitrogen use efficiency component analysis. Pre-plant, we did that down to 150 centimeters by 30 centimeter increments. We did that for inorganic nitrogen as well as gravimetric moisture content. Coming in at physiological maturity, we took our harvest samples for above ground biomass nitrogen as well as grain yield and protein. And again, we took our soil cores down to 5 feet or 150 centimeters at 30 centimeter increments. The way that we're defining nitrogen use efficiency is looking at the grain yield over the total nitrogen supply. Looking at the fertilizer guides, we broke it up into the nitrogen utilization efficiency, which is grain yield over the total nitrogen that's in the plant, times the nitrogen uptake efficiency, so how much of the nitrogen in the plant came from the soil supply. In order to develop our criteria, we wanted it to link with something the growers are tending to use, which are the fertilizer guides. So the fertilizer guides, they use a unit nitrogen requirement of 2.7 pounds of nitrogen per bushel. And that unit nitrogen requirement assumes a 50% uptake efficiency. So we use that value. The unit nitrogen requirement is a reciprocal of the nitrogen use efficiency. So using that unit nitrogen requirement, we want to see a nitrogen use efficiency of 22 kilograms of grain per kilogram of nitrogen supply. In order to achieve that, we would need a nitrogen utilization of 45 kilograms of grain per kilogram of plant nitrogen. So those are the value. That's the reason we chose those values as criteria for coming up with a dichotomous key for this performance class evaluation. So for all the site years, we had 605 individual plot data points, and we started by looking at what was the nitrogen utilization efficiency. If it was greater than or equal to 45, then we come and look at, well, what is our uptake efficiency? Are we at or above 50%, which is performance class 1? If we're below that, we go into performance class 2. Again, if our nitrogen utilization efficiency was below what our fertilizer guides are suggesting we should achieve, we look again at the nitrogen uptake efficiency. If we're greater than 50%, performance class 3, less than performance class 4. Okay, well, so what? This graphic here is looking at the frequency distribution of each data point by performance class. You have performance class on the x-axis and the frequency on the y-axis. What you see is performance class 1. Again, that's where we had high nitrogen utilization efficiency and also high nitrogen uptake efficiency. We achieved that in about 51% of our data points, or 50% of the time we achieved that. That's pretty good. I think that that's a positive. What we see in performance classes 2, 3, and 4 are our opportunities to improve our management, whether that's seeding rate, nitrogen rate, or other factors. Performance class 2, where we have our nitrogen utilization efficiency is fairly high, but our nitrogen uptake efficiency is low. That's starting to, you know, we can start to break this out and think about why that is. In this particular case, we had a lot of nitrogen supply. I don't think we had enough plants to take that supply up. Performance class 3, we start looking at was that a nitrogen loss situation where we had the nitrogen there, the plant could take it up. Were we losing some nitrogen? What things are contributing to that? In performance class 4, again, we really missed the mark. How can we do better with our management strategies? But all of this has to be linked back to yield and yield quality, particularly from a grower standpoint. So we want to understand the relationships of nitrogen use efficiency with those aspects. These plots are by performance classification. So class 1 is your red dot, class 2 your orange dot, 3, 4, and you're going to see that for the remainder of the graphics. On the y-axis over here on the left, we have grain protein and grain yield. Oftentimes we think we're going to see an inverse relationship, a linear inverse relationship between grain protein and grain yield, and we just don't see that in our landscapes, and that comes back to the variability. So it's not a particularly predictive relationship. When we look to the right, we see grain yield and nitrogen use efficiency. This comes back, I think, to what a previous speaker talked about, is yield isn't always a predictor of or predictive with nitrogen use efficiency. We can increase our grain yield, and we may or may not increase nitrogen use efficiency. And by breaking it up by performance class, I think it helps us to start seeing, well, do we have more range within a performance class? So at any given grain yield, we do see really large ranges in nitrogen use efficiency and correspondingly in our unit nitrogen requirement. That tells me that we have an opportunity to probably vary our nitrogen or other aspects of our inputs. And again, remember, 22 is the cutoff if we're going to reach the goals outlined in our fertilizer guide. So 50% of the time we do pretty good, but we have opportunities to improve. Grain protein and nitrogen utilization efficiency is what's shown to the far left. Grain protein on the X and nitrogen utilization efficiency on the Y. So that relationship is pretty strong. I think that's going to be helpful as we move forward in making this into a decision support tool. The other thing you'll notice, this is a soft white winter wheat. We really want about 9 to 10% protein. And what we see is in performance classes 3 and 4, we're really getting into a spot where our grain protein's much higher than where we want it. So we do want to dial that in better so the farmer's not docked for high protein for that market class. You can break out all of these components into their other individual components, which is in the far right. We have above ground plant nitrogen and the grain yield. Again, we see a nice linear relationship across the performance classes, except for in class 4. Remember, we really didn't do well. We didn't reach nitrogen utilization or uptake efficiency goals. You start to see as the plant nitrogen increases, the yield isn't increasing either. So we're getting protein, but we're not getting yield. If you're in the hard red business, that might be an okay situation, but not in our soft whites. So in order to make this a tool that a grower can use or that we can continue to use to evaluate how well we did, we're starting to employ discriminant analysis through SAS ProctiScrim to say, well, what variables can we use to predict our classification? We have treatment variables, fertilizer rate, seeding rate, grain yield, grain protein, and nitrogen harvest index, which is the amount of nitrogen in the grain over the total amount of nitrogen in the plant, so how much is being translocated to the protein. Those so far have been the best predictive predictors so far with about a 19% error rate. So the table is just showing from class 1 how many times are we correctly classifying, and that's a jackknifing technique that is used within ProctiScrim. So when we see things like this, we think, well, NGNT, this nitrogen harvest index, it's not necessarily an easy, those aren't easy components for a grower to actually, for them to actually produce. They can get grain protein and grain yield with some success in our landscapes, but we need to try to move that a little further along so that we can use it and the growers can use it as well. So the next steps as we continue to move forward are going to be digging a little deeper to look at these nitrogen use efficiency components that help us predict classification, but I'd argue more importantly that are going to allow us to evaluate if our management worked. I have nitrogen supply, residual nitrogen. We can start to look at, well, which things are contributing to the performance we're seeing in the field. The top right is, again, it's a frequency distribution of points by performance class, but I've broken it out by just the field site year. And what you notice in 4, where we didn't do so well, when you start looking at the environmental conditions, it was a really droughty year that year. And so we just were moisture stressed, and that induced not only nitrogen deficiency, but probably the phenomenon of haying off. We got too much biomass early on in the spring. We ran out of water for grain fill. So just by knowing those things, it helps us to understand those conditions and when we're evaluating how well we did. So that's all I have. Acknowledgements to my committee as well as different funding sources. And with that, I'll take questions. Those are good questions. So your first statement was we reached our nitrogen utilization efficiency 50% of the time. Well, sorry, no. First, winter wheat varieties. So the first year we did it, it was a little bit more of a pilot study. We had a Clearfield variety of winter wheat, Oregon 102, or OR 102. And then the last two site years, I had a soft white club wheat. So I didn't look across the varieties. That's something to think about. They do have differences in how they tiller and things like that, which affects the nitrogen sink capacity. As far as your question of the nitrogen use efficiency, 50% of the time we reach the goal that's outlined in the fertilizer guides. I think any time we're below that, we definitely can do better, and I think we should push ourselves to do better even when we reach that fertilizer guide recommendation. The intersection of management through nitrogen, seeding rate, genetics, I think that's a tough one to answer. I think by better positioning our nitrogen in time, so that placement through this kind of understanding will be helpful. But I think they'll all play into it. And environment controls that too. How much elevation difference? That's a good question. Meters wise. Between the plots, about, I'd say maybe 50 meters. Is that about right, Dave? He says higher, 75, 100 meters.
So then, have you tried to plot for flat urban or clusters versus your landscape position, maybe flat on some certain region?
Yes, we have. So in that discriminant analysis, I didn't want to list all the variables. So we have several variables, and we started including some attributes such as elevation, global irradiation. They haven't necessarily come out as strong predictors yet, but discriminant analysis, you have the ability to use your knowledge of the landscape, I think, to see if that's going to predict better. It hasn't shown up yet, but I think maybe we just haven't found the right combination with the data we have. So it sounds like you're asking if we're trying to do some kind of weighting based on the landscape.
The landscape position, not so much the elevation.
Right. We think global irradiation will help to bring that in just based on how our landscapes lie, but that's a good point. I'll have to think about that a little bit more of how we do that. We have curvature and, you know, so we have a lot of other things we can bring in that are already known at the farm and at each. We have 369 georeference points out there that we can link right into with where our plots were.
Okay. Thank you very much.